You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're listening to Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors on The Sports Objective. Join Coach C, the USA Strength and Conditioning Hall of Famer, every Monday night to see in a variety of guests, including former players, former and current coaches, pastors, and others will discuss relevant issues in coaching today's athlete, with the goal of equipping the athlete and those coaching them with the physical, mental, and spiritual armor necessary to live their best life. Here's Coach Connors.
Welcome to Absolute Empowerment. I'm Jeff Connors, and tonight we have a guest for the record books, a former standout defensive lineman at East Carolina University who had the honor and privilege of coaching, and also a signee with the Miami Dolphins, Travis Darden. Travis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and recognize my sponsor, and then we're going to roll.
Sounds great.
We have Ed Watkins Marine. Ed Watkins Marine has two locations to serve you, as they are located in Denver and Cornelius, North Carolina, in the greater Charlotte area of our state. He has fishing boats, pleasure boats, pontoon boats, center consoles, family-friendly bow riders, trailers, engines, and UTVs. He has all the brands you are seeking: Sea Pro, Suncatcher, Pontoon, Tritoon, Stingray, Yamaha, Suzuki, Mercury, Vexus, Bass Boats, Explore, Skiffs, and more. Whether you're looking for a new boat or to repower your existing boat, Ed Watkins can help you with your boating needs. Visit them online at edwatkinsmarine.com. We appreciate Big Ed's support of the show. And Ed was definitely the most enthusiastic and positive athlete I have ever coached. Thank you, Big Ed. All right.
Yeah.
We are back. And Trav, what I wanted to say was I wanted to also recognize the fact that you were one of the strongest defensive linemen that I ever coached. And I was real proud of that. And I've had a few like Rod Coleman and Julius Peppers, Ryan Sims, and Marvin Austin. So, they didn't have nothing on you.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. I guess I'm in good company.
Yeah. Just to name a few.
Yeah, I appreciate anyway, that.
Man, it's just so great to see you after all this time. It's been such a long time since we've seen each other.
Yes.
And it's always so great for me to reconnect with you guys. And it's just really special for me because, you know, I knew you pretty well when you were going through school. We spent a whole lot of time together.
Right.
You know, and the nature of this podcast is, you know, overcoming adversity through faith. And you had such a story of overcoming adversity and hardship and working through a lot of things and ultimately becoming very successful. So I just want to tell you that I haven't seen you for a long time, but I sure are proud of you.
I appreciate that, Coach. You definitely was help along the way to lay a foundation on what I believe I still stand on today. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you. So we want to talk about first your current success. I'm kind of working backwards today. I like to mix it up a little bit.
All right.
So I know you have a very interesting job. And so, you know, after you graduated from ECU, what was kind of like your job history leading up to what you're doing today?
I've had a few. Okay. But I think, you know, I've said this to my CEO. This is probably the last run because I really enjoy what I do. And it's I'll get to that, but it's really more than just a job. It's really a ministry, if you will. It's a mission based type of role, and I'm grateful for it. But you know, once football was over, and I moved away from North Carolina to move up into the DC area. I was on the Maryland side of it at the time, and end up becoming roommates with one of our former players, Brian Johnson. You probably remember B. Johnson.
I remember him very well.
Yeah, and he's from D.C., so he helped me navigate it. And so we were roommates for a while, and both of us just trying to get on our feet and get our careers going. And I started out in management training type of positions. The first one actually with Ferguson Enterprises, plumbing supply.
Okay.
Great company. And that's where I kind of started learning about what management was. Had a real good manager at the time, and was there for some time and just kind of moved up through a few other companies. But that's where it all began.
So you are currently with Goodwill.
I am. Yeah. It's Goodwill of Central and Southern Indiana. So we are local to the state of Indiana. And I try to clear this up for people to help them understand Goodwill is not just one entity. It's almost like a franchise to a degree, local to the states and counties that they serve.
Right.
So the Goodwill that I'm a part of, it's under the Goodwill umbrella, but we are local to Indiana, soon to be in Puerto Rico. I can kind of explain that. We have the Puerto Rico territory, our Goodwill. We have 75 retail locations. Four of them are our outlets, 71 are retail stores. That's my responsibility as a senior director for retail stores and e-commerce. I have quite a few folks that I'm responsible for, about 3,000 employees in retail and several in e-commerce. And it's a busy job, but it's really a labor of love that I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to lead that team.
So, you know, you always hear a lot about Goodwill. And of course, I've been to a few, cleaning out my closets and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
but every time I've gone into one, it's just kind of I don't know how to describe the atmosphere, but it's kind of a welcoming, helpful atmosphere with really nice people usually that I've always met when I walked into those places.
Right.
Very forthcoming and so forth. And I mean, is there a way that you train them? Is there a mantra or, you know, how's it work?
Well, yeah, it is. It's quite a bit of training. So, the different levels of that course and the culture that we built is so important. I mean, we are a primarily a second chance employer to many that can't get traditional jobs in other places because of different backgrounds they may have or disabilities, both seen and unseen. And so we give those folks that's willing to work an opportunity, and then we just embrace them with various training. In the stores in particular, from a donation attendant to a cashier, many first-time supervisor jobs, some move into upper-level management. I have 5 regional directors that report to me, and all of them were prior site leaders at one point. And that's essentially the general manager of a location. And then my director of e-com, it come up through a different career path. But she's been around for quite some time. So I'd like to think our Goodwill here in Central and Southern Indiana is one of the best in the country.
Gotcha.
In the way we do those things. We also have an educational side. I work primarily in retail operations, but we have free high schools for adults that may not have received their high school diploma. Uh-huh. It's called the Excel Center. And so that started here. When it was Central Indiana Goodwill, and it is now has moved throughout the country where others start up the Excel Center, and the office here in Indianapolis is that national office for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably growing up in a small community like Bertie, you know, a lot of these folks are probably close to your heart because it reminds you back home, maybe.
No doubt. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I like to say, you know, that's why I believe I relate so well with right. with the population. Now, the state is a big state and I cover most of it. So it's several economies within, right? You got your urban part of it, which is in the city, Indianapolis. And then you can go out to some of the more rural areas, which is about the Bertie County speed. So it's a lot of soybean fields and wheat fields and all types of things, but I can connect with them because I speak the language.
Well, it must feel really good to be able to bless so many people.
Yes.
And you deserve to be recognized for what you're doing. Now, are you going to be traveling to Puerto Rico now?
You know, so yes, I will. We're currently working on starting a store there and an outlet to start that particular part of our Goodwill. That's going to be Goodwill of Puerto Rico. So it'll be a separate entity under Goodwill of Central and Southern Indiana. So the idea is that it is self-sustaining. A lot of the mission things that we do here in Indiana is there's a need in Puerto Rico. For instance, we have a nurse family partnership where we have nurses that travel throughout the state that supports first-time moms with different things that they'll need. And, sort of like like Bertie, where I come from, you know, it's not the greatest infant mortality rate because of lack of access to healthcare and things of that nature. So we provide that through nurse family partnerships. And that's a great need on the island of Puerto Rico, along with education. And so retail kind of is the engine that helps bring that in and support those missions.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about, just the comprehensive services that are offered?
Yeah, so NFP, Nurse Family Partnerships, are there with real nurses, RNs, LPNs, et cetera. We have programs called New Beginnings, where it serves the justice involved population, folks that's coming out of incarceration, that need employment. We have a team of people that really embrace that population and help them with what that transition needs to look like to be successful. And here in Indiana, we have a very good recidivism rate that the team that leads that group does really well with. And then, of course, the education side, which, you know, a high school diploma, and we don't do the GED programs, we do an actual diploma. With all of the credits, is super important for folks that just need to get that basic level so that they can, get started with the career they need to help themselves and their families.
Now, how much are you involved with, like, homeless?
You know, not directly, okay. But I will say out of the 3,000 employees I have, many of them have come to us that may have been homeless.
Okay.
And so we have mission coaches that support folks that may have that need once they get employed with us. And we found that if we are more of a hand out, not a hand up, a hand up and not a hand out, that really can support the individual to overcome their homelessness state. So that's, we do quite a bit of that. A lot of it's, you may not hear about it, or I may understand it or know it, you know, behind the scenes because somebody raised their hand and said that's their situation. And we call a mission coach to come in to the particular store they're working in and try to support them directly.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many homeless people that in this country right now that
it is
help, and also people in the mental health category as well. So
absolutely.
Really love to see programs helping those individuals.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really, it's heartbreaking to see, but I understand it, growing up with, limited means, we probably were real close to being in that state if we didn't have, some support and God's will to support us to make it through it.
Gotcha. Well, thanks so much for sharing that information. And now we want to talk about your family.
Okay. All right. It's grown over the years, Coach.
You got five?
I got five. So Ty is in Greenville. Ty came to college with me. I don't know if you remember that. Ty was a baby.
I was
a teenage dad. And that was at the time not idea. Right. But it happened. And they moved to Greenville with me. And she's there. She actually works at Pitt County Memorial in the emergency room department and is doing great. I'm real proud of her. And, you know, I honestly, we talk all the time and we're real close. Folks don't believe that I'm her father. And because she looks like, you know, maybe my sister. Right. And I oftentimes apologize to us that Ty had no idea what I was doing. OK, so I'm sorry, kid, but you turned out well.
But, you know, I'm gonna have to see her sometime. You know, my son Bo is a paramedic.
Okay.
In the hospital emergency room.
Yep, she's there.
In Greenville and Rocky Mount.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Yep. Well, she's there. She's there. She's been there for years. Sure is.
Now, what is her last name now?
Darden. Yeah.
Still all right. Yep. I got you.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell him to look her up.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna have to do that.
She
wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So from there,
how about the rest of the crew?
So the rest of the crew. So Akila, my spouse. Like we mentioned maybe before this started, we've been married 17 years.
Yeah.
And we live in Indiana now, which I don't know how we even got here, but we're here. Wasn't on in the cards. But we have four, JR, which is my junior, I call him JR. He'll be 14 next month. His brother Aiden will be 12 next month. And I have twin girls that just turned 10 in April. And so they keep us pretty busy, Coach.
I'll bet. Now, is everybody involved in athletics or?
You have to be if you're going to live here. Yes, sir. That's you choose one. You know, I don't care if it's the chess club, you're going to do some sport or something because I know how important it is.
Well, I know you had a busy day. You talked about doing laundry and cooking breakfast and cleaning. And
yes,
you got your list that you took care of today on a Sunday.
Absolutely. On top of a soccer game that was north of us in Westfield. And Aiden, he's a goalie on a soccer league. He had a tough day at the office. I'll just say that. Okay. They were up against a really challenging squad today, but it was a real character builder.
Gotcha.
Yes, yes. So we're getting ready for the week now. My oldest, he plays football. He's kind of working off of his talent. He don't really know what hard work is yet. And I'm attempting to teach him that. It's been the most challenging coaching job I've ever had. So I'm not much of a coach, is what I'm saying, but I'm trying to give him some words of wisdom on how to attack it.
You might want to put a little gym in that somewhere in one of those Goodwill facilities in the area.
Yeah, we or put them to work to lift all the heavy items to get them prepared for the season. But we go up the street to the Y and I teach him what you taught me. And we stick with the basics and he's a strong young man. But
he's got to be.
Oh, he has it. He just don't know it yet. but he has it.
Great stuff.
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations on having a wonderful family. Yeah. Real happy for you.
I tell you, before you move to the next part of my girls are playing softball now, and this is their it's probably their fourth season because they play spring and fall. And I think this is the year we're really turning it on.
Okay.
Now I'm looking for them to be really strong in that they're about a foot taller than everybody out there right now. Wow. And they're hitting it to the fence. And so I it's really exciting. It's tough for me to hold back the emotion on the side. So I go further out from everybody. So I can't quite talk to the parents, you know, they're not locked in like I am.
That's awesome. And they're 10-year-old twins.
They're 10-year-old identical twins. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay. So is it like shortstop, second base, or what?
Yep. So yeah, Alana actually does play shortstop and third, and Tiana's the catcher.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And both of them can hit really well. So we've been working in the batting cage. We did that earlier today as well. A little batting practice.
Yeah, we didn't want to leave them out.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't hear the end of it. I would not hear the end of it. When my wife checks this out and say you didn't mention Alana and Tiana, that would be my head.
Well, just blame it on me. I was trying to move along a little bit.
I know it.
Okay, so I'm kind of working in reverse here, like I said. So I want to go talk a little bit about your NFL experience and just your impression of the NFL. What was your perspective? Like, what did you learn? And then, you know, what? Give me a little bit of info there.
You know, would have loved for it to have been longer. But, you know, I think what was in the cards for me was, you know, dealt the way it was supposed to, looking in retrospect. But a great experience, grateful for it, to be a part of an organization, signed a 2-year contract, you know, just being in that. Around, you know, making it there, getting on the field, doing those things. While it was, I was there doing that work. You know, I had an injury that I think that I'd never really paid attention to. Because, you know, I always played hurt, but never played injured. But I think it was a matter of something I probably should have taken care of a while back, and I had to make a decision. And that decision was, I didn't want to quite be the journeyman I've seen a lot of guys do. I had to make some things happen for myself and for my family at the time. So I decided to move away from it. It's even tough talking about it now. As you see, I'm struggling with talking through it because it was something that I've wanted to do from my childhood. But I'll tell you this, Coach, you know, when I was in school there, and you remember when my mother passed away, it was a very challenging time for me.
Right.
Later in life, I, you know, learned that people get things done when they have a why, right? And if you have a strong enough why, you can really figure out any how. I've heard that from a speaker, so I don't know who I heard that from, but
well, you also have to find the why underneath the why,
right?
Which you referred to as the big mofa, the big motivating factor.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think when my mother passed away, it was for my senior year. My why kind of changed because I really wanted to make it for her so that I could get us into better circumstances.
Right.
So it was a means to an end. Love the game. Football is the best game in the world, hands down. I watch it to this day. It's life for me. But it changed when that happened, I believe. And I think the circumstances kind of evolved because of a lot of that. So when I decided to move on and understand it was time for me to go, I put it behind me and thought that that chapter just really closed. It was great. But you know, my why kind of changed, and it was time for me to go to work in a different career, if you will.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever heard, you know, I coached Jason Brown at Carolina, and I don't know if you've ever heard his story, but you know, when he was in school, he was incredibly strong. He power cleaned 419 and jerked it.
Mm, mm-hmm.
He was with the Ravens, and then he was with the Rams, and I think he signed a $38 million contract with the Rams, and basically just had this vision. And he tells a story, and he's told it on my podcast before, where he had this mansion with this bar with all this high dollar alcohol, and he just decided to, he was down there breaking all these bottles of alcohol, and his wife found him. It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
I said, we're out of here. You know, he gave up his contract, went home and started a farm. Grows food for the needy.
Yep.
And probably has eight children. They're all homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has a chapel there, which is incredible, where they have weddings. I've been out there. So you got to make decisions based on what's important to you. You know, what's important to you in the world.
You do. You really do. You really do. And I believe I've done that. But, you know, even to this day, I'm continuing to learn. I'm a work in progress. And, you know, you do the best you can with what you have. And, you know, life's been good. Life's been good on the other side of that.
Yeah, well, I'm 67. I'm still a work in progress. So it's all good.
All right. Okay. I respect that. Yes. I hope to look as good when I hit those numbers. I
appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. I'm 47.
So, and that's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. So when I say the number, sometimes it's hard for me to believe. And here we are.
It goes fast, brother. It goes fast.
It goes fast.
Make every day count.
Yes, that's what I'm attempting to do.
All right, so we're going to go ahead to our ECU experience.
Yep.
And which was a very special one for both of us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the 90s were just an incredible time for me. And
oh, yeah.
And so what I'd like for you to talk about first, of course, you know, I'm sure you had other offers beside East Carolina. But, you know, your experience and your relationship with Coach Logan and his family was so special. And can you talk about Coach Logan?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Coach Logan was everything to me. You know, I was thinking about that prior to, you know, us connecting and knew you'd ask me about Coach. And I mean, he was like a father to me. And and I mean that. I mean, the advice, life advice that he shared with me, just a man of integrity, always showing that accountability. You know, just was a good, just a leader of men. I just respected him to the utmost and still do to this day. And so he was really just real transformational for me in my life. And before, you know, the recruiting process before ECU, it was several offers. But there were, you know, things that I had to figure out. I wasn't a great standardized test taker. And so I struggled with that. And when that happened and I didn't get the numbers that I needed, a lot of those folks that were recruiting me kind of fell off. But ECU didn't and Coach Logan didn't. And, you know, I had some plans to make some things happen. I ended up going to prep school for the fall of 94 after high school. And I went to Hargrave Military Academy. And there I learned what I didn't know back in Bertie. You know, I just wasn't prepared. You know, as I look back, standardized testing and preparing for those types of things just isn't in your day-to-day curriculum in a rural high school like a Bertie County High. But I learned it there, got it quickly. So in spring 95 is when I say life changed. I made it to college. And jumped right into, I think it was winter conditioning. It was winter conditioning and spring ball. And I said, I'm here and I'm going to give it what I got. And I think it turned out all right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. But coach is everything. Coach Miss Logan, the boys, I mean, they really just embraced me. I was always in a good place. Any time I just needed the support or advice, guidance, that's what Coach Logan was for me, 100%.
Yeah, and I remember you were very important to him, and you were very important to all of us. I mean, that's basically what I felt that way about everybody back then. Yeah. You know, everybody was a little bit different. Everybody had different types of buttons that you needed to push for motivation. But I always say that it was so unique, the camaraderie, the leadership, just how close everybody was on this team, the power of agreement.
Right.
And of course, much of that came from Coach Logan.
Yep.
And I know that you had some issues with anger a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we bumped heads a few times, you know. But that was that was normal for me because I was always, you know, trying to take whoever it was to another level every day. You know,
right, right. Whether we knew it or not at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I wasn't too concerned with hurting people's feelings, you know. But
right.
You know, just talk about that a little bit about how you overcame that.
You know, I tell you, and you're right. I did. I was, I think growing up, I was a very angry child. And I think I was because of my circumstances at the time. You know, I just, you know, growing up poor, you know, the house we lived in, gosh, I look back, I tell my kids about it. They don't even believe me that I didn't have a bathroom in my house until I was in the eighth grade, right? And never met my father, knew his name, was on my birth certificate, but never met him, never even seen a picture of him. And watching my mother deteriorate, you know, diabetes just really did so much to her physically. She did everything she could to support raising me, and that was tough. And so I always had a chip on my shoulder from that. And but I will say this, because of good folks like yourself, Coach Logan, you know, really was there to you saw, you know, the best of me, you saw some of the worst of me in sometimes, but you didn't give up on me. And I think that's what made the difference in getting through what I needed to get through.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, later I think I was, you know, just really not understanding how to pray, not really understanding God at the time. I think I had some good examples around me and some of the players that really walked the walk and talked the talk.
Yeah.
And I always looked at them as if, how they do that, whether I said it out verbally or not. But if I could, I wanted to mention something you did for me many years ago. You gave me this book and I still have it. And this book,
okay.
It don't have the cover on it anymore.
All right. That's a good sign.
But it's well worn. Okay. And it's The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, when you gave it to me, I didn't understand. I never read anything like this. You know, country boy out of North Carolina, out of Burke T. County, North Carolina. We don't talk like this.
Right.
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 But I've read it several times and I use a lot of it to this day. And I think things like that help me with how to think differently. What it means to, you know, really understand what the Bible talks about and renewing your mind. This was the start of it. And you gave me this. And I think it was maybe 97, maybe about that time.
That book's been around for a while.
Been around. It's been around. And I've used it. So I don't know if that answers your question, but a lot of that did a lot for me because men like you that showed me you cared, because I didn't have people like that in my life on a regular basis. And I was in a environment that allowed me to be myself, but also call me out when I, you know, was out of line, like you've done, you know, and I needed that. Didn't know I needed it at the time because I didn't like that.
Well, you know, it wasn't unique to you.
Right. Oh, I know it. I've seen it.
And, you know, Travis, I saw so many guys through my career go by the wayside, you know, way too many. And it bothers me. You know, it really bothers me to this day. Most of them was because of they couldn't quit smoking marijuana and they kept testing positive. And then Steve would have to let them go, or wherever I was, the same thing. I mean, there's different, kind of like different policies at every school, I guess. I don't even know what it is now, but I know it's still against the NCAA rules. But two young men I coached were murdered. And, you know, I had several people over the years, you know, 30-some years, come in and talk about suicide. I had to, once I retired, I finally had a chance, you know, because you're working 12 hours a day to try to win a football game for so many years, and you're on a 1-year contract, so that's all you think about is taking care of your own family. And
right.
But, you know, I've had some time to marinate on those things now, and I just love to have people come on and talk about how they've overcome adversity through Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the main reason that I wanted to get involved with this podcast, because I don't have anybody that's going to criticize me. I'm retired, so I want to say what I want to say. You know,
that's right. That's right.
But do you have anything very specific from that book or from the Bible that?
Oh, I do.
That you really hang your hat on.
I do. And because I was going to connect with you, I had, you know, I got a few things highlighted.
Yeah.
And a couple of things here. And I've read this a few times. I'll share it with you if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
And this is in one of the chapters here. We're in chapter, I think it's 4 or 5. The man who assumes success tends already to have success. People who assume failure tend to have failure. And it's one of those where I believe it's quoted by Henry Ford, whether you believe you can or can't, either way, you're right. And those are things that I started to learn that made sense for me, because it truly was, you know, you become what you think about.
Yes.
And I know that. And that's something I'm trying to teach my kids now, which is very hard. But I learned that then. And then there's another one that I had highlighted here. And let's see, Coach, I got several. I mean, if you look, I got this thing highlighted all over the place. I mean, it's 20 years.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And this is connected with biblical. According to your faith, be it unto you, Matthew 9:29. It's in the Power of Positive Thinking book. Made sense to me. And I had to work on my faith.
Yeah.
And I had to ask God for forgiveness. And I had to ask God for, you know, giving me understanding on how to move forward on what that meant. And, you know, through the Bible and just some of the notes that I keep things around. If you see my computer, I got like little scripts of things. And one of them, Philippians 4:13, that everybody mainly knows, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So that's a bit of a mantra for me on the challenging days. I still have them. And then the last one I share with you in Romans 12:2, do not conform, and this is the NIV version here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I'm no Bible scholar.
Preach.
I'm no Bible scholar, Coach, but it's a few that's in the word and through Jesus that really helped me. Because back then, Coach, I looked at Christianity as it just felt passive to me back then. I didn't understand it until I started to know who Jesus was, and he was no joke. You know,
called
people out that needed to be called out and did what he needed to do. And that resonated with me that I didn't know back then.
Well, I'm in the process of losing myself to gain a kingdom. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, putting off the old man and putting on the new.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very serious thing because you don't want to backslide.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And so many things I would encourage you. I'll give you one thing. That I like is trade perfectionism for presence,
mm-hmm.
which you can with your kids. Hey, you might have a bad day, but just keep showing up.
That's right. That's right.
Keep showing up, and small hinges swing big doors. It's going to happen for you over time.
Yes, I agree.
So, you know, I love those things.
Yes.
But, oh yeah, we can sit here and pontificate for a while.
I know. Look, I've gotten old now, Coach. I get to leaning into those things now, and I share with you know I got a lot of young folks at the stores that work with us at Goodwill and the people I'm responsible for. I share a lot of that, and that's why again I won't go back too heavy into my work, but you know I'm allowed to connect with people in that way.
Yeah,
I mean it's. You can't do that in regular jobs. I say regular jobs, but I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to I wrote a couple books. You know, I just kind of write them for my own happiness because it helps me just to express myself to myself.
Right. But, I get it.
But I want to write one more. You know, I did a little research on myself, and I think I spent 68% of my professional career with 85% young black men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most of my life I spent with young black men.
Right, right.
And that's something I think a lot about, you know, and something I, you know, I've had a lot of deep conversation with a lot of people that I've coached over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And it's been somewhat enlightening to me. It's been satisfying to me. And one thing about it is, you know, there's white people and black people to go through tough situations growing up. But one thing I always believed about young black men is they were introduced to Jesus Christ, to the church at some point, mm-hmm. whether it was grandma.
Right.
It was somebody. And even if they, you know, kind of lost themselves for a little while, it seems like they always came back to it.
No doubt.
Almost everybody that I've interviewed.
Right.
Terrence Copper's got a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Williams got a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Coleman's got a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Copels, who I coached in Carolina's got a great story.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really appreciate, you know, all these discussions and reacquaintances I'm kind of making with the guys that I coach. I really appreciate you coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Coach. When I, you know, got connected with you and heard this what you're doing, I definitely couldn't tell you no. You know, although I'm fairly private these days, I was a little reluctant initially.
Yeah.
But you know, these days I know there's a reason, and when I know God's in it, I pray about it and try to put Travis to the side and go be and say what I need to be and say, and maybe it'll help someone else.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, if I can do it coming out of Bertie County, North Carolina, anybody can.
I hear that. Now, do you remember James Bell?
I do remember Brother Bell.
Brother Bell
he's like family. Yeah.
Hometown, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. Absolutely. Yeah. I ain't talked to him in forever. But yes, absolutely.
He was awesome, man. He was
He's a good man. That's my guy. Absolutely.
He was a man of God.
Yes, 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 he was and he is. And always respected him. Always respected him.
Well, I just wanted to mention one more thing. We'll wrap it up here and might have one more question for you. But I just wanted to mention when Coach Logan said, well, you know, I'm all tied up with something. Do you mind going down to Bertie and talking at the fire hall?
Yeah.
We're going to have a celebration there about Travis's career, Travis's life. And when I got to the fire hall, that's exactly what it was. The life of Travis Darden, starting from the kindergarten coach to the middle school coach to the teachers to the – I think I was about the 14th person to get up and speak finally. So I had to shorten a little bit, but everybody certainly knew you.
We're
proud that they had – some association with you growing up and some influence on your life. And I was just wondering if you could tell me just a little bit more about your mom. Could you just talk a little bit about your mom?
Oh yeah. Yeah. My mother was everything. She was really, angel on earth. I tell you, she worked hard for me, did everything she could to help me, get into a better life. And I to this day, I think she passed away when she saw that I was going to be all right. We went through it. I mean, just coming up the way I came up and she being unable to work and, trying to make ends meet and do all the things that she could to support me, but also be encouraging. I mean, she was always in my corner, always telling me not to give up, helping me to the best of her ability, raise a young Black man in the South on, staying out of trouble. And I, still had challenges with some of those things and still got into some trouble, but nothing too detrimental that I couldn't overcome. Thank God. But and that's who she was. And I still keep around. This is an old driver's license of her that I keep around. And she helps keep me grounded, Coach. And I'm doing everything I can to hope she's proud of me and I'm not letting her down.
Hear that. Well, thank God for your mom. Thank God for Coach Logan in your life. And very proud of what you've accomplished. I'm looking forward to reconnecting with you again at some point. And, maybe not wait, 20, 25 years before we talk again.
I know it.
But I hope you have a great week. I'm going to go ahead and check out.
Yes.
And we'll stay in touch. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you. Be blessed. Okay.
This is Jeff Connor signing off for Absolute Empowerment. God bless. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, Trav.
Thank you, Coach.